Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps Team.
Well, hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. This is show number 559, and I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Hope Griffin. Today is Monday, April 4th, 2016, and we are glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
The AWN Core Team is hanging out in Twitter chat tonight and having lots of fun. So if you're listening to our show live right now, join us. You can ask questions of our guest, comment, and just join in our fun conversation. Just follow along at twitter.com/Army Wife Network using hashtag Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our Army Wife Talk Radio Show sponsor, TDT MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at metlife.com/TRICARE or by calling 1-855-METTDP1.
Our guest this evening on Army Wife Talk Radio is attorney Elizabeth Stevens of Kaplan and Drysdale. She's here to talk with us about tax breaks for hiring vets and other useful tax information for military families. Visit their website at www.kaplandrysdale.com. Let me spell that, LINDRYSBALE.com. Or find them on Facebook at facebook.com/Kaplan Drysdale Chartered 1263-913-440-4103 or on Twitter at Kaplan Drysdale. We'll also be posting their social media handles in our Twitter feed for you as well, so you can look them up there. Also coming up a bit later in our show is our Health Minute. Going to be a great show, very informative, so be sure to stay tuned. But before we get to all that, it's time to do some catching up. So Hope, what's been going on in your Army Wife life this past week?
Well, I thought it was going to be a very boring week, and I was going to tell you all about cleaning out closets, because that's what you do in the spring, right? But my sister surprised us with a visit. Last Monday, she said she was coming, and then by Tuesday, she couldn't come anymore. So Wednesday, I pulled out all my closets, and then was working on it Wednesday and Thursday, and then on Friday, got a phone call. Oh, I'm coming after all. Pick me up at the airport in 5 hours. I was like, ah!
Oh.
And so everything went back in the closets. But I got to spend the weekend with my sister, and it was a lot of fun. I haven't seen her since I met up with her in San Antonio last year. In September, but before that, like, my kids haven't seen her since for probably 3 years, and my husband for even longer. So it was really nice.
Wow.
It was
what
a nice
neat
visit.
Reunion,
it was a short
then.
One. Yeah, it was a
now,
short visit.
Now, where did she fly in from?
She came in from, I believe, Austin. She had a layover there for a work trip and discovered she could make a little detour. But she's at in Tampa near MacDill, so... We haven't seen them in a while, or her in a while. So it was really, really
awesome.
Great catching up with her.
Now, is she a military spouse too, or
no.
You mentioned she was over at McNair. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's so just how I orientate
my world.
You
mentioned McDill. So what did you all do while your sister was in town? Did you do anything fun? Any excursions?
We showed her around Fort Bliss because Freedom Crossing on Post is probably one of the nicest places in El Paso. And they always have live bands on Friday night. So we went there and let the kids dance.
Fun.
It's a lot of fun. And we just hung out, went out to eat a lot. Don't tell my weight loss group. and we just spent a lot of time together just talking and hanging out. So it was great. So,
well, hopefully none of them are, well, listening to the show, right? Your weight loss group.
I'm going to repost that later.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
repost
that later. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to repost it now. Just a little orneriness in me.
You can't come to El Paso and not go eat Mexican food, right? So
you can't live, I say that because I grew up in Kansas and in a town where we have more Mexican restaurants than we have any other type of restaurant, even though it's a small town. So I don't know how to live without Mexican food.
I don't either.
So the first thing we do when we scope out a new post is like, okay, where's the best Mexican restaurant? So I'm with you there. It's healthy. They have guacamole. What's not healthy about guacamole?
It's green. Exactly. It is green. We talk about food a lot.
I probably need to join your weight loss group. So, I had an exciting week too. I've got to share my news.
Absolutely.
Well, gender reveal of my grandbaby. We were all betting on one gender, and boom! I shouldn't be surprised. My daughter has always surprised me. It's a boy, though. We're gonna have a boy. I say we because I'm living precariously through my daughter. Boys are not common. Our side of the family tends to have girls, so we all thought it was going to be a girl. But we're excited. It's a boy. We would have been happy with either gender, but it's going to be a boy. And his name will be Nolan Grant.
Aww.
So we've already been shopping like crazy. Oh, thank you. I didn't pick it out, but I'll take credit. I mean, I had his mother, so
right.
I'll take credit.
You raised her,
right? Yeah.
I mean, you can take some credit.
Yeah. So you had an exciting week, and I had an exciting week, and we both thought, well, I knew it was going to be exciting because we would find out the gender, but most of the time I think, oh, what do I talk about on the air that anybody would think is interesting?
So, yeah, I didn't think my closets were going to be very interesting.
Well, I'm amazed. You actually organized your closets.
No, I started to.
Mine.
And it was 2 days in, and then I just shoved everything back up.
See, I was going to say, after this last PCS, my closets look like your closets probably look right now after you pull everything out to organize and then shove back in with your surprise guest. Mine is just that way every day.
Well, I was inspired because I guess it was sometime last week at 10 o'clock at night, my husband was like, oh, I have to get a picture taken. Where are all my medals?
Oh.
And so for the next 2 hours, we were freaking out looking for all his medals. Have we used them since the last time we moved? Like, it was terrible. So, yeah, it was one of those moments. We found them.
Well, that's how it's going to happen, you know. Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Right at the very, very most inconvenient time, so...
10 o'clock
there
at
you
night.
Go.
I need my medals.
Yep.
I don't know where they are.
And husbands aren't very good at telling us ahead of time. It's like,
Oh, well, he just found out that day.
In 3 days.
So,
oh.
He found out that day. He needed him the next day. And we could
such
not remember for the life of us. Oh. But we found him, and I was inspired. And my closets are still messy. But I had a great weekend.
Well, then you have something to talk about next time. If you think you've got a boring week, that's your backup. Okay, I'll talk about my closet. See, my other thing I had down that I was going to talk about tonight was finally filed our taxes.
Well, it's the spring.
That was
taxes and closet.
Well, oh, so, I'm still procrastinating. Oh, my goodness.
No.
I'm going to cut it right down so I have that for next time. Hopefully
you're
by
just
next
waiting
time,
for
though.
All the tips from tonight.
That's right. That's right.
You were purposely procrastinating so that you could do a better job.
Good save. I'll tell my husband that. He's like, have you filed them yet? I was just waiting for tonight's program.
Exactly. You can't.
Thank you.
You can't do it before tonight.
Right. And
the next week you won't have an excuse. Yeah, but next week you're out of excuses.
Yeah, that'll really be cutting it down to the wire. So, and then I see that you're kind of settling back into a homeschool routine. Now, you homeschooled before, right?
I did.
And
I homeschooled all of them, and then in August, we sent them all to public school because I was working so much. But it just didn't work out for our oldest. And so after talking to the counselor at school and a lot of other people, he just wasn't, he was bored. He wasn't making friends. He didn't know why people didn't follow the rules. He didn't know why what should take him 2 hours. They were making him do for 8 hours. So, so he wanted to be home. So finally we gave in and we're homeschooling again, and he's much happier, and so he gets to go to co-op. I was already still leading, so that worked out great.
Oh,
no. It's a good thing I didn't stop. There's always a reason, right?
Must have been fate.
Yeah, so he's doing great. We're getting him involved in drama. He just auditioned for a play last night for Cinderella through Kids and Company, which is our local drama theater. Kids drama theater. So, and he's much happier. He's back with his friends he already knew. And it's much easier to homeschool one than three.
Oh,
much easier. So,
many
moons
ago, I homeschooled three that were in school and two toddlers. So, I can feel your pain. I admire homeschoolers. So. I think it's great. And I think and that kind of goes with the homeschooling philosophy that, you know, I lost my word. Help me, homeschool mom.
Each child is different?
To tailor,
tailor
the education towards each child. Some kids thrive in public school, and some kids in private school, and some kids homeschool, so...
both my daughters are doing
the needs of your
great. I would never take my daughters out. They're doing great. So, but my son just needed, he was bored. He needed more to do.
I think boys have a natural, they're naturally more fidgetive, you know, is that a word? Fidgety. And they need more movement. And so...
Yeah.
I think that's one way that homeschooling is great for boys is if they get tired or sidetracked, they can get up, move around, and then refocus again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, it's time for us to take a quick break. Coming up next, we'll be discussing some hot topics this week, so stay tuned, and Hope and I will be right.
Continue your education at an elite university committed to service members and their families. Drexel University offers active duty, veterans, and their family members a 10 to 40% tuition reduction for over 140 online degree programs. Get an inside look at what it's like to be part of the Drexel online community through a free digital test drive. Military family members will be able to experience online learning, explore student support services, and interact with Drexel faculty, staff, students, and alumni. Visit online.drexel.edu/family to sign up today.
If you're stationed away from home, how can your voice be heard? Get your absentee ballots on time wherever you are. Here's how. Go to fvap.gov and fill out your federal postcard application, or FPCA. Go to fvap.gov to get started.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio Live, an interactive talk radio program for Army Wives by Army Wives. Call us and share your story. Now, back to our show.
Well, hot in military news tonight, the Navy just approved the military's best tattoo rules. The Navy is easing its tattoo policy in a bid to recruit and retain more sailors from the millennial generation, of whom more than one in three sport body art. Sailors will be allowed to have neck tattoos, sleeves, and even markings behind their ears under the new policy, the most lenient of any military service. Only their heads are off limits under the new policy, which the Navy's top sailor has called a reality check on the permanent art favored by sailors. Read more about this story at militarytimes.com/story/military, and look for the article, Navy Just Approved Military's Best Tattoo Rules, or find the link, which we'll be posting shortly, in our Twitter feed.
Okay, so what was hot on Army Wife Network this week? From expert Army Wife Network contributor Elaine Dunler, she shares with us the commitment of a battle buddy. So the question is, do you have one? And if so, what's something crazy you and your battle have done together? You can read Elaine's article at armywifenetwork.com/the commitment of a battle buddy.
And it's social media roundup time. Do you follow us on Instagram? No? Why not? We have a great time with things like hashtag War Wednesday and fantastic graphics. Did you see our recently posted graphic, Army Life, A Reason for Laughter? We've had just about as many dates via Skype as in person. How many of you can relate to that? Follow us on Instagram at Army Wife Network.
So last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit it to just one per show, and we ask for them 10 days in advance to info@armywifenetwork.com. The Blue Star Family's Military Family Lifestyle Survey takes a comprehensive look at the current needs and priorities of military families and service members and identifies the key aspects of military life to effectively target resources, services, and programs that support the sustainability of the all-volunteer force. Military families are much like their civilian neighbors. Many need dual incomes to meet their financial goals, are concerned about pay and benefits, worry about child care and education, and want to establish roots and contribute to their community's well-being. However, the unique demands of military service result in exceptional issues and challenges for service members and their families. This is the sixth iteration of the BSF's annual Military Family Lifestyle Survey, which has been conducted since 2009. Fielded in April to May of 2015, the 2015 survey was designed by Blue Star Families in collaboration with Syracuse University's Institute for Veterans and Military Families and analyzed by the Department of Research and Policy at Blue Star Families. More than 6,200 military families, including active duty service members and veterans, provided valuable insight regarding the true cost of sustaining the all-volunteer force. You can take the survey at bluestarfam.org/resources /military-family-lifestyle-survey. So that's it for our PSA. Coming up next, after these quick commercial breaks, is Army Life Network's new 6 Paula, filling in for Jen, which a well-deserved night off, bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE dental coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE medical program options do not include TRICARE dental coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP-1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit armywifenetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army families. This is your News 6, Paula, filling in for Jen tonight, bringing you all of your need-to-know news. First up tonight, the U.S. military is looking to award new medals to soldiers who have fought ISIS. U.S. troops deployed in the fight against ISIS will now receive a medal for their service, the Pentagon announced Wednesday. Troops serving in Iraq, Syria, or neighboring waters and airspace on or after June 15, 2014, can apply for the Inherent Resolve Campaign Medal, named after the anti-ISIS operation. The medal will be awarded to those who participate in the campaign for more than 30 days. According to the Pentagon, so far 11,000 service members qualify for the medal. The President's executive order authorizing the medal comes after recommendations were made by Defense Secretary Ash Carter and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Joseph Dunford to recognize the increased danger facing service members battling terrorist groups in Iraq and Syria. And next, the Pentagon is proposing changes to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The Pentagon has proposed significant changes to how troops are tried and sentenced 2 years after a comprehensive review of the military justice system was ordered by the then Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel. The changes to the Uniform Code of Military Justice are the first proposed by the Pentagon in 30 years and would make the system more transparent to public view. For decades, the military's unique sentencing procedures have required untrained military jurors to decide guilt or innocence, as well as impose sentences upon conviction. In most military crimes, there were no minimum sentences, and lengthy, allowed maximum punishment could include life in prison. Under the Pentagon proposal, military judges in all cases would decide sentences based on the U.S. Department of Justice guidelines. Also, a number of crimes that have been tried under the catch-all Article 134 would be set out independently, perhaps with articles being added to the UCMJ.
All convicted service members also would have the right to appeal under the changes, and military court documents, such as judicial rulings, would be filed in a public system as they are in federal courts. And finally, the Pentagon is inviting hackers to take part in a new competition titled Hack the Pentagon. Pentagon Press Secretary Peter Cook announced that the department is now accepting registrations for those interested in participating in its Hack the Pentagon initiative, announced earlier this month by Secretary of Defense Ash Carter. Bug bounty programs like this one are commonplace in Silicon Valley, but this initiative is the first of its kind for a government entity. Individuals who take part in the program will be invited to attack public-facing, non-classified websites, such as the defense.gov homepage, to identify weaknesses that adversarial nations could exploit with cyber attacks. In exchange for turning over details of the vulnerabilities, participants will be eligible for financial rewards. The news release did not set the individual payment numbers, but said awards would be drawn from $150,000 in funding set aside for the program. The program will start Monday, April 18th, and end by Thursday, May 12th. A Pentagon official previously said the program hopes to attract thousands of individuals to take part in the program, although restrictions do exist on who can participate. Eligible participants must be U.S. citizens and not be on a Treasury Department watch list that tracks ties to terrorism or drug trafficking. Those who are successful in hacking the department must undergo a basic criminal background screening to collect their payment. This initiative will put the department's cybersecurity to the test in an innovative but responsible way, Carter said in a statement. I encourage hackers who want to bolster our digital defenses to join the competition and take their best shot. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed or Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Paula, filling in for Jen, signing off.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationIntouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Miss the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Hope Griffin. Tonight we have with us Attorney Elizabeth Stevens of Kaplan and Drysdale in Washington, D.C. Ms. Stevens' combined experience in government, private practice, and the nonprofit sector gives her 360-degree perspective, as well as valuable insights that benefit the firm's corporate and individual clients.
Ms. Stevens served as a naval cryptology officer deployed on the USS Nimitz in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. She received her commission through the Navy's ROTC program after earning a degree in international political economy at Georgetown University. Tonight, she's here to talk with us about the newly updated tax laws giving employers tax breaks for hiring a vet, along with other valuable tax information. Welcome to the show, Liz.
Thank you.
Well, Liz, let's get started and tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're calling tonight.
Well, I am, as you mentioned, I'm an attorney. I'm a tax attorney. which demonstrates to your listeners that there really is something out there for everybody. And I did, I served as a naval officer before I became a lawyer. And I am, like I think both of you and many of your listeners, I'm a military spouse. So I'm a Navy wife rather than an Army wife. But my husband, Sean, is celebrating 18 years of active duty service today. So.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I guess we'll just jump right into it and ask you, what does this new tax guide hope to accomplish?
This tax guide, which is it's available online, it's a tax guide. It's a guide to four different tax credits for hiring veterans. And these are available to employers who hire veterans. What we're trying to do is close an information gap about the availability of the credits and make it easier for employers to claim them. So ultimately, we will encourage veteran hiring. A tax credit is, if anyone's not familiar, it's kind of like a deduction, but better, because it gives you a dollar-for-dollar credit against your tax liability. So an employer who is eligible for one of these credits would get to just subtract the amount of the credit from their tax bill at the end of the year. And our guide deals with four different credits, the Returning Heroes Tax Credit, the Wounded Warrior Tax Credit, the Activated Military Reservist Credit, and the Empowerment Zone Credit. And a lot of employers, especially small and medium-sized businesses, they don't even know these credits are out there. So we're hoping to change that. And even if they do know about the credits, they may not understand the process for claiming them because there are some kind of technical procedural requirements. So we're hoping the guide will change that as well and encourage more employers to hire veterans and take advantage of these credits.
Now, Liz, how does your firm become involved in creating the tax guide?
Well, we're primarily a tax law firm, Kaplan and Drysdale. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary. Because of our expertise in tax, we were approached by the Center for America. They are a nonprofit organization. They spearheaded the development of this tax guide. They have various campaigns that they run, and one of them is called America's Jobs for America's Heroes. So they do various things to try to encourage veteran hiring. They have about 1,000 employers that participate in this campaign, so it's pretty big. They invited us to work with them on developing this tax guide. So we wanted to participate, of course, because this is a really good thing to participate in, and it's a good cause. And we collaborated with Center for America on an earlier version of the guide in 2013. My former colleague, Clint Wallace, who's now a professor at New York University, shout out to Clint, took the lead on that. And Congress made some changes to the credits that we covered in the guide last year. So Center for America wanted us to help them update it, to make sure that employers are getting the most current information. And as a veteran and military spouse, it was, I was delighted to, have the opportunity to participate.
That's great. So you mentioned the Returning Heroes Tax Credit and the Wounded Warrior Tax Credit. Can you tell us a bit more about those and what an employer has to do to be eligible for those credits?
Sure. Well, the most important thing an employer must do to be eligible is to hire a qualifying veteran. So the veterans have to meet some fairly specific criteria, and the employer must satisfy certain procedural requirements. So I apologize. This is a bit technical, but Center for America has told us that they hear from employers that these procedural requirements are really the biggest things that trips them up. And prevents this whole credit system from working the way Congress intended. So there are two levels of both the Returning Heroes and the Wounded Warrior credit. And by levels, I mean the maximum credit that's available. And it depends on the characteristics of the veteran. So the Returning Heroes tax credit is available to employers who hire veterans who are certified as being members of families that have received assistance through the SNAP program. That's food stamps, or if they are certified as having been unemployed for at least 4 weeks in the year preceding their hiring date. So if the veteran is certified as having been unemployed for at least 6 months in the previous year, then the amount of the credit jumps up. The Wounded Warrior credit is available for employers who hire veterans certified as entitled to compensation for service-connected disabilities if they're hired within a year from release from active duty. And then the amount of the credit jumps up if the veteran is also certified as having been unemployed for at least 6 months during the previous year. So that, so I keep saying certified over and over because the certification process is really the key to obtaining the credits for the employers. And even though we think these are credits against federal income tax, so, you know, you would think certification would happen maybe through the IRS, but in fact it happens through state workforce agencies. So these are whatever in every different state, the agency to which you would apply to get unemployment compensation. So within 28 days after the veteran's start date, when they start work, there are two forms that the employer has to submit. One is an IRS form, and even though it doesn't have to be submitted until after the start date, it has to be completed in its entirety on the hiring date and signed by both the employer and the veteran. And then there's a Department of Labor form that must be completed as well, that is essentially the certification that the person was receiving unemployment compensation for a specific period of time, or that they're entitled to a service-connected disability, all of the, you know, various requirements. So these link, there are hyperlinks to these two forms that are embedded on in the guide on Center for America's website. So, you know, these are, rather than give all the form numbers, employers can go there and take a look at them. But it's very important to meet the timelines for these, you know, for submitting these forms to the state workforce agency, because we understand that's typically missing those deadlines is why employers are not able to claim the credits. So we're hoping that, you know, the tax guide will, you know, make this information more available and kind of demystify this process so that more employers will be eligible and, you know, will hire veterans and meet the requirements.
Now, just for clarification, for purposes of claiming these credits, does the term veterans include reservists and National Guard members too?
Well, it depends, which is, I know, a stereotypical lawyer answer, but so as would be intuitive, to qualify as a veteran, you have to have served on active duty. And since this is a, you know, these are federal tax credits, for National Guard members, that means they must have been activated by the Department of Defense to serve either in, you know, on active duty in the Air Force or in the U.S. Army. So National Guard members are sometimes activated by state governors as well, and unfortunately for purposes of these tax credits, that service doesn't count toward the active duty requirement. And then for both National Guard members and reservists, they count as veterans for this purpose if they have completed more than 180 days of active duty service, or if less, they were released due to a service-connected disability. And if they've been on active duty for more than 90 consecutive days, they have to have waited, you know, they must have concluded that active duty period at least 60 days before the start date. So you can see how this stuff would trip people up. You know, veteran goes and interviews with an employer, things are great, offer is extended, the person is hired, they agree on a start date, and it happens to be day 59 after the person completed active duty service. So then the employer is not eligible for the credit, which is too bad. So if they had waited, you know, two more days or one more day for the start date, then the employer would have been eligible. So, you know, we are trying with this tax guide to make sure that all of these numbers are out there so that people can hit all the wickets.
Okay. So once an employer actually qualifies for the credits, how does the employer claim them?
That process is much simpler, fortunately. So for the Returning Heroes and Wounded Warrior credits, there's just one IRS form that has to be filed with their income tax return. It's form 5884, and again, there are embedded links to all of these forms in the tax guide itself. And then if the employer is organized as a corporation, they also have to file form 3800. But they just, at that point, once they've met all the requirements, they just file these simple forms with their tax return.
Now, is there anything that the employees need to know about this, or is it all on the employer?
Well, there are, you know, some of these requirements in terms of the timing after, you know, finishing active duty or time relative to start date. These are important things that the employee can track as well. And, you know, on one level, the credit's going to the employer. So what does the employee care? Well, for a veteran who is looking for work or, you know, who will soon be looking for work, understanding that these credits are available to employers, you know, can be something of a tool in your job search process. So we, you know, although there are not a lot of reliable statistics or easily generalizable statistics about veteran unemployment, we do know that more than 200,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines are leaving active duty every year. So most of those folks are returning to the civilian workforce. And if, you know, your listeners or their loved ones are or soon will be in that group, they can take a look at this guide. So they can use the guide to educate prospective employers about the availability of the credits. There is a way to obtain advanced certification for the Wounded Warrior credit or the Returning Heroes credit. And so that's, you know, a potential selling point for the veteran as a prospective employee. And although, you know, what Center for America has heard, at least from surveying employers, is that most employers aren't going to hire a veteran just because, you know, these credits are available. But if they have a pool of qualified, you know, potential employees that they're looking at, qualified candidates, and maybe one of them is a veteran, and the employer knows about the credit, you know, this could be the determining factor. Or, you know, more commonly, employers will hire the veteran and then use these credits or use the money that they would have paid in tax otherwise to pay for additional training costs for the veteran or, you know, defray recruitment costs and other costs of getting the person up to speed at their job. So I guess generally, you know, knowing about the credits and being able to tell employers about them can be valuable for, you know, the employee in the job search process.
Could you quantify the value of the credits? I think you mentioned earlier something about dollar for dollar credit.
Yeah, so a tax credit, so if the, you know, employer earns income and, you know, they have various things they can deduct. So if you're an employer and you hire someone and you pay them wages, you get to, you know, deduct their salary. That's a deductible business expense from the money that you earn from your business. So after you've calculated, you know, that bottom line number, same way that, you know, all of us do in preparing our own tax returns, or maybe we have other people prepare our returns, but I've always prepared my own. So you know, calculate your adjusted gross income, and then you have to, you know, figure out, apply your, if you use Schedule A or you take a standard deduction, and then calculate your tax liability. And so you come up with the total amount of tax owed. Well, with the tax credit, you'd get to just subtract that amount from the tax bill. It comes right off the top. So that is, it's more valuable in a sense than a deduction from your income because, you know, that's just deducted from the amount that's going into the determining your tax as opposed to just taking away a piece of the tax itself. So the Wounded Warrior and the Returning Heroes credits are computed as percentages of amounts of wages paid to the veteran employee. And so they max out, they vary from $2,400 up to $9,600. So at that Wounded Warrior credit level 2, so that's for a veteran who has a service-connected disability and was also unemployed for a period of time, and that's $9,600 of tax that the employer otherwise would have had to pay that they now don't have to pay.
Okay.
So it can be really meaningful to the employer.
Right. Well, Liz, we have to take a quick break,
When we come back, let's talk more about tax credits and other information for military families. And don't forget, the AWN Core team has some fun discussion taking place in our Twitter chat tonight. You can follow along at twitter.com/Army Wife Network using hashtag Army Wife to participate. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a new career but don't qualify for MyCAA funding? CareerStep can help. They have partnerships, scholarships, and other funding sources that provide military service members, veterans, spouses, and other family members with career training programs for as little as $180. CareerStep's flexible online programs allow you to complete your coursework at your own pace, when it fits your schedule. Choose from a number of in-demand careers like pharmacy technician or medical coding and billing. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, and this is your Army Medicine Rethink, Reset, Renew Health Minute. Celebrating children of military families is easy. We would like to honor the month of the military child by recognizing that raising healthy children is a great responsibility and you don't have to do it alone. Army Medicine has so many resources for you, and we also know the small changes to your daily routines can have a large impact on your health and the health of your children. We encourage you to rethink one thing you can do differently regarding your family's health. Set a goal together as a family and then go for it. When you accomplish that goal and feel renewed, start the process all over again. Did you know that science supports the benefits of regular sleep and bedtime routines and getting outside to play and exercise? Additionally, serving a variety of healthy foods and snacks and drinking water go a long way to better health, school performance, and happiness. Sleep is also linked with making better food choices, happier emotions, and better grades. And encourage your children to get out and play. Routine physical activity also helps children get better, more regular sleep. Remember, small changes make a big difference. And for more information on sleep, activity, and nutrition, visit www.armymedicine.mil. Army Medicine is serving to heal and honored to serve.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with attorney Elizabeth Stevens, associate of Kaplan and Drysdale, with the new tax guide information for employers hiring vets. Before we went to break, we discussed veterans and tax credits pertaining to veterans. Now, Liz, you mentioned there were a couple of other tax credits, too. Can you tell us a bit more about those?
Sure. So, before the break, we talked about the Returning Heroes and the Wounded Warrior credits. So there are two others that our guide covers, and those are the Activated Military Reservist credit and the Federal Empowerment Zone credit. And these are pretty straightforward relative to the other two. The Military Reservist credit is available for employers who pay salaries to reservist employees while they're on active duty. So essentially, they keep paying them, even though they're not at work, when they're out serving their country on active duty as reservists. So to qualify for the credit, the employer has to have employed the employee for more than 90 days before he or she is activated, and the employee must be on active duty for more than 30 days. And like the other credits, the amount of the credit is calculated as a percentage of wages that are paid. So it's 20% of the wages paid to the reservist employee up to $20,000, so for a maximum of $4,000. And as I may have mentioned earlier, this is one of the big changes that was made in some legislation last year was made to this particular credit. So oftentimes with these credits, Congress includes, we call them sunset provisions. So they'll have it expire at the end of the year, and then every year they renew it for 1 year and 1 year and 1 year. Well, this activated military reservist credit was made permanent, so employers don't need to worry about it going away. And whereas previously, for 2015 and prior years, it was available only to small businesses with 50 or fewer employees, now it's available to all businesses for 2016 and forward. The other credit that we talk about in the guide is the Empowerment Zone Tax Credit. And that's not actually a veteran-specific or military-specific credit. It's available with respect to all employees. So if an employer hires an employee who lives and works in a designated federal empowerment zone, then the employer is eligible for this credit. And empowerment zones are communities or regions that the federal government has decided to target for economic assistance. So, and they're, you know, specifically designated, and they have boundaries. And if you go to the Housing and Urban Development website, they have a map, so you can look to see, you know, if you are located in one of those regions. So these two credits are a little bit simpler than the other two, but also very meaningful, or potentially very meaningful, for employers when tax time comes around.
Okay. We have a listener who's asking if you could just repeat the names of those two tax credits for us.
Of course. The Activated Military Reservist Credit and the Federal Empowerment Zone Credit. But if your listener would like to, you know, see all of this in more detail and be able to see it in print rather than trying to decipher my speaking on the radio, they can go to centerforamerica.org, where they can click on a link and get the whole tax guide in PDF with live links. So it's CENTERFORAMERICA.org.
Great, thank you. So do most qualifying employers take advantage of these credits?
Well, many employers, as I think I may have said earlier, particularly small and medium-sized businesses, these are folks who are not, they don't have big fancy law firms advising them on how to do their taxes. They don't have in-house tax departments. So they don't know these credits are out there. So that's step one, one problem we're trying to solve with this guide. And then the procedural wickets can make it challenging for employers to qualify if they don't have, again, they don't have an in-house tax department. They may not have a whole administrative staff that can monitor these things. For example, that 28-day deadline to submit your paperwork to the State Workforce Agency for the Returning Heroes credit and the Wounded Warrior credit. If you miss that, it's not available. So, you know, we're hoping this guide will kind of close that information gap and really spell out what employers need to do.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the tax guide was first published back in 2013. Has it made an impact?
Well, the Center for America has done a marvelous job of publicizing the guide. They have had more than 50,000 downloads from their website of this version and the previous version, and they're now working with the National Guard to send the guide around to all of the employment counselors, National Guard employment counselors around the country that work with local employers in trying to facilitate hiring of National Guard members. So it is it's really been spread around, but we're hoping to continue to get the word out and make more and more employers aware of these potential benefits so that they will hopefully hire more and more veterans.
Now, you had told us earlier that the guide is primarily intended to increase awareness among employers, but most of our audience, while some of our audience are employers or make hiring decisions as part of their jobs, the majority of our listeners are military spouses and family members. So how can they and their families use the guide?
Well, as I touched on briefly earlier, you know, the guide can be a tool for employees too. So everybody who's on active duty, you know, is eventually going to leave it. And many of them, you know, will want to go back into the civilian workforce because, you know, if you can retire on a pension after 20 years, that's a rare thing nowadays. And so many people leave active duty service and they're still, you know, they're young enough to have an entire second career. So they'll be out there on the job market. And knowing that these credits are available and being able to, you know, subtly tell employers about them or make sure their employer, you know, prospective employers are aware of them, it's a potential selling point for them.
Okay. So basically it's to be aware to help you land a job, like to give you an edge, kind of.
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay.
Give you an edge, okay. Or, you know, for reservists, for example, you know, if they're currently working for an employer, you know, knowing if the employer were aware of this policy or of the activated military reservist credit, that they'd get a tax credit for paying wages to their reservist employees while they're out on active duty, you know, that is that necessarily going to cause an employer to change its policy about paying those reservists? Maybe not, but it certainly, you know, weighs on the scales and might make them more likely to institute such a policy. So, you know.
Okay. All right. Now, to change gears kind of briefly before we wrap up, tax season is upon us. Are there any recommendations or other advice or tidbits that you could share with us, with our listeners, as they prepare their tax returns like me? Procrastinating.
Okay. Well, you know, everybody's personal tax situation is different. So, you know, I don't want to, what I say can't be too specific, but I guess I'll offer, you know, one piece of information, I mean, one recommendation. Informationally, I know as a military spouse myself, for a number of years, as we moved from duty station to duty station, I'd find, you know, that I was filing at least two, and in 1 year, three state tax returns in 1 year, because, you know, my husband would file his state tax return in his state of domicile where he entered the military, but as we would move around and I would work in the different places where we were stationed, I'd have to pay tax in those states because I was working there, so we'd have multiple tax returns, but a couple of years ago, Congress enacted the Military Spouse Residency Relief Act, so they've sort of leveled the playing field for spouses. So spouses, like service members, can continue to pay state tax on their salary and wages in their state of domicile, even as they move all around the country or around the world. So state of domicile is much like, you know, for military members, wherever you had a physical presence, you lived there, and you intend to go back. So for many people, that's wherever they entered the service. And then they continue paying state taxes there, you know, regardless of where they're stationed. So spouses can now do the same thing. So if you grew up in Maryland and you're out stationed in California, you can continue paying taxes in Maryland if you intend to go back there. You can't decide that, you know, where you pay taxes will be Texas because they have no state tax unless you actually move there, physically live there, and then you have some intent to go back after you leave. But this is, you know, it's important for tax filing in terms of not having to file extra tax returns. And then also, you know, if the spouse is working in the state where, you know, they're stationed, you know, it's important to, when you fill out the withholding paperwork for tax withholding for your employer, for them to withhold taxes from your paycheck, you want to make sure you specify, you know, that state or your state of domicile so you can keep the same one. And speaking of withholding, it's one recommendation. This is a very good time of year to do something that I think everybody should do periodically. So most of us, when we start a new job, you fill out this IRS Form W-4. And so you indicate, you know, this is my filing status. Is it single, married filing separately, married filing jointly, head of household, and then also how many dependents you have. And how you fill out that form determines how much federal income tax is withheld from each of your paychecks. So that, you know, the number that is the right number will change over time. If you have, you know, you have another child and you have a higher number of dependents. So that will change, you know, what the right amount of withholding is. If you find yourself getting a lot of money back, you complete your tax return and, whoa, you're getting a big refund, then you may want to reduce your withholding so that you have more money in your pocket throughout the year rather than making an interest-free loan to Uncle Sam that gets paid back in April. Or conversely, if you're writing a check with your return, then you may want to increase your withholding so that you can pay that amount gradually over time rather than in one big lump sum. So this is, you know, it's a good time of year to do this. Just go ahead and make an update to your withholding. And then also for those who don't know, because we have Emancipation Day in the District of Columbia, D.C., that's where I live, we have that on April 15th this year. It's a public holiday, so everybody in the United States gets an extra 3 days to file our tax returns this year, so tax day is not until April 18th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nice. So you have a full 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
So before we sign off, where can our audience go to find out more? I know you've told us already, but just tell us one more time where we can go to find a copy of the guide.
Sure. It's www.centerforamerica.org.
Well, Liz, thanks for being with us tonight and for sharing your tax expertise with our audience. We hope you have a great evening. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, ladies. You have a great evening, too.
You too. Thanks. And listeners, thank you for tuning in this evening. We hope you enjoyed the show and learned something. I know I did. Be sure to join us next week, April 11th, 2016. On the show, we're featuring Judy Davis of Daisium, so you won't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great week.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.